Compact cassette from Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia, at en.wikipedia.org. The compact cassette, often referred to as audio cassette, cassette tape, cassette, or simply tape, is a magnetic tape sound recording format. Although designed originally for dictation, improvements in fidelity led the compact cassette to supplant the stereo 8-track cartridge and reel-to-reel tape recording in most non-professional applications. Its uses range from portable audio to home recording to data storage for early microcomputers. Between the early 1970s and the late 1990s, the cassette was one of the two most common formats for pre-recorded music, first alongside the LP and later the compact disc. Compact cassettes consist of two miniature spools, between which a magnetically coated plastic tape is passed and wound. These spools and their attendant parts are held inside a protective plastic shell. Two stereo pairs of tracks, four total, or two monaural audio tracks are available on the tape. One stereo pair, or one monophonic track, is played or recorded when the tape is moving in one direction and the second pair when moving in the other direction. This reversal is achieved either by manually flipping the cassette or by having the machine itself change the direction of the tape movement. Auto-reverse. Section 1. History. In 1935, decades before the introduction of the compact cassette, AEG released the first reel-to-reel tape recorder, in German, Tonbandgerät, with the commercial name Magnetophone, based on the invention of the magnetic tape in 1928 by Fritz Pflumer, which was using similar technology, but with open reels, for which the tape was manufactured by BASF. These instruments were still very expensive and relatively difficult to use, therefore were used mostly by professionals in radio stations and recording studios. For private use, the reel-to-reel tape recorder was not very common and only slowly took off from about the 1950s. With prices between 700 and 1500 German marks, which would now be about 3100 to 6700 euros, still being far too expensive for the mass market and, while still using vacuum tubes, built very bulky. In the early 1960s, however, the weights and the prices dropped when vacuum tubes were replaced by transistors. Reel-to-reel tape recorders then became more common in household use, though never but a small fraction of the number of homes using long-playing record disc players. In 1958, following 4 years of development, RCA Victor introduced the stereo quarter-inch reversible reel-to-reel RCA tape cartridge. It was a cassette, big, 5 inches by 7 inches, but offered few pre-recorded tapes. Despite multiple versions, it failed. In 1962, Philips invented the compact audio cassette medium for audio storage, introducing it in Europe in August 1963 at the Berlin Radio Show, and in the United States, under the Norelco brand, in November 1964, with the trademark name Compact Cassette. Although there were other magnetic tape cartridge systems, the compact cassette became dominant as a result of Philips' decision in the face of pressure from Sony to license the format free of charge. Philips also released the Norelco Carrycorder 150 recorder/player in the U.S. in November 1964. By 1966, over 250,000 recorders had been sold in the U.S. alone, and Japan soon became the major source of recorders. By 1968, 85 manufacturers had sold over 2.4 million players. In the early years, sound quality was mediocre, but it improved dramatically by the early 1970s when it caught up with the quality of 8-track tape and kept improving. The compact cassette went on to become a popular and re-recordable alternative to the 12-inch vinyl LP during the late 1970s. Section 1.1. Introduction of music cassettes. The mass production of compact audio cassettes began in 1964 in Hanover, Germany. Pre-recorded music cassettes, also known as music cassettes, MC for short, were launched in Europe in late 1965. The Mercury Record Company, a U.S. affiliate of Philips, introduced MC to the U.S. in July 1966. The initial offering consisted of 49 titles. However, the system had been designed initially for dictation and portable use, with the audio quality of early players not well suited for music. Some early models also had unreliable mechanical design. In 1971, the Advent Corporation introduced their Model 201 tape deck that combined Dolby Type B noise reduction and chromium dioxide tape with the commercial-grade tape transport mechanism supplied by the Wolensack Camera Division of 3M Corporation. This resulted in the format being taken more seriously for musical use and started the era of high-fidelity cassettes and players. During the 1980s, the cassette's popularity grew further as a result of portable pocket recorders and high-fidelity, hi-fi players such as Sony's Walkman, which used a body not much larger than the cassette tape itself, with mechanical keys on one side or electronic buttons or display on the face. Sony's WM-10 was even smaller than the cassette itself and expanded to hold and play a cassette. Like the transistor radio in the 1950s and 60s, the portable CD player in the 1990s, and the MP3 player in the 2000s, the Walkman defined the portable music market in the 1980s, with cassette sales overtaking those of LPs. Total vinyl record sales remained higher well into the 1980s due to greater sales of singles, although cassette singles achieved popularity for a period in the 1990s. Apart from the purely technological advances cassettes brought, they also served as catalysts for social change. Their durability and ease of copying helped bring underground rock and punk music behind the Iron Curtain, creating a foothold for Western culture among the younger generations. For similar reasons, cassettes became popular in developing nations. One of the most famous political uses of cassette tapes was the dissemination of sermons by the Ayatollah Khomeini throughout Iran before the 1979 Iranian Revolution, in which Khomeini urged the overthrow of the regime of the Shah, Mohammad Reza Pahlavi. In 1970s India, they were blamed for bringing unwanted secular influences into traditionally religious areas. Cassette technology was a booming market for pop music in India, drawing criticism from conservatives while at the same time creating a huge market for legitimate recording companies as well as pirated tapes. In some countries, particularly in the developing countries, cassettes remain the dominant medium for purchasing and listening to music. Section 1.2. Decline. In many Western countries, the market for cassettes has declined sharply since its peak in the late 1980s. This has been noticeable particularly with pre-recorded cassettes, whose sales were overtaken by those of compact discs during the early 1990s. By 1993, annual shipments of CD players had reached 5 million, up 21% from the year before, while cassette player shipments had dropped 7% to approximately 3.4 million. The decline continued such that in 2001, cassettes accounted for only 4% of all music sold. Since then, the pre-recorded market has undergone further decline, with few retailers stocking them because they are no longer issued by the major music labels. Sales of pre-recorded music cassettes in the U.S. dropped from 442 million in 1990 to 274,000 by 2007. 2009 saw another record low, with 34,000 cassettes sold, and 2,000 of those albums were at least 36 months old, bought at independent retailers in the South Atlantic region in the suburbs. Most of the major U.S. music companies had discontinued them by late 2002 or 2003. However, as of 2011, blank cassettes are still being produced and are sold at many retail stores, and facilities for cassette duplication remain available. Cassette recorders and players are becoming gradually scarcer, but are still widely available and featured in a notable percentage of hi-fi systems. Cassettes remained popular for specific applications, such as car audio, well into the 1990s. Cassettes and their players typically were more rugged and resistant to dust, heat, and shocks than the main digital competitor, the CD. their lower fidelity was not considered a serious drawback inside the typically noisy automobile interior of the time. However, the advent of shockproof buffering technology in CD players, the reduction of in-car noise levels, the general heightening of consumer expectations, and the introduction of CD auto changers meant that by the early 2000s, the CD player rapidly was replacing the cassette player as the default audio component in the majority of new vehicles in Europe and America. While digital voice recorders are now common, compact cassette, or frequently microcassette, recorders may be cheaper and of sufficient quality to serve as adjuncts or substitutes for note-taking in business and educational settings. Audiobooks, church services, and other spoken word material are still sold frequently on cassette, as lower fidelity generally is not a drawback for such content. While most publishers sell CD audiobooks, usually they also offer a cassette version at the same price. In the audiobooks application, where recordings may span several hours, cassettes also have the advantage of holding up to 120 minutes of material, whereas the average CD holds less than 80. While cassettes and related equipment have become increasingly marginal in commercial music sales, recording on analog tape remains a desirable option for some. However, that method is recently being overtaken by portable digital recorders. Musicians in the indie rock community have showed slight interest in releasing cassettes. Such artists as Dirty Projectors and Deer Hunter have made recent titles available on cassette, and Thurston Moore of Sonic Youth has claimed, "I only listen to cassettes." Among the last in the developed countries to leave the compact cassette format are artists and groups belonging to the Dansband genre, many of whom still, in the early 2000s, had released their albums both to CD and to compact cassettes. Since many of their fans are now older, they often belong to a generation less interested in buying a CD player. However, also in this genre, fewer artists and groups released recordings on compact cassette. As late as 2006, Lasse Stefanz and Torgny Mellens released their latest albums to both compact cassette and CD. In India, film and devotional music continues to be released in the audio cassette format due to its low cost. Botswana-based Diamond Studios recently announced plans for establishing a plant to mass-produce cassettes in a bid to combat piracy. In recent years, the audio cassette format has seen a revival with independent record labels, indie labels, preferring to issue releases in this format due to its low cost and the difficulty in sharing tape music over the internet. Underground and DIY communities release regularly and sometimes exclusively on cassette format, particularly in experimental music circles, and to a lesser extent in hardcore punk circles, out of a fondness for the format. Section 2. Features. The cassette was a great step forward in convenience from reel-to-reel audio tape recording, though, because of the limitations of the cassette size and speed, it initially compared poorly in quality. Unlike the four-track stereo open-reel format, the two stereo tracks of each side lie adjacent to each other rather than being interleaved with the tracks of the other side. This permitted monaural cassette players to play stereo recordings summed as mono tracks and permitted stereo players to play mono recordings through both speakers. The tape is 3.81 millimeters, 0.150 inches wide, with each stereo track 0.6 millimeters wide and an unrecorded guard band between each track. The tape moves at 4.76 centimeters per second, or 1 and 7/8 inches per second from left to right. For comparison, the typical open-reel format in consumer use was 1/4 of an inch, or 6.35 millimeters wide, each stereo track nominally 1/16 of an inch, or 1.59 millimeters wide, and running at either 9.5 or 19 centimeters per second, 3.75 or 7.5 inches per second. Section 2.1. Cassette types. Cassette tapes are made of a polyester-type plastic film with a magnetic coating. The original magnetic material was based on gamma ferric oxide. Circa 1970, 3M company developed a cobalt volume doping process combined with a double coating technique to enhance overall tape output levels. This product was marketed as High Energy under its Scotch brand of recording tapes. Inexpensive cassettes commonly are labeled low noise, but typically are not optimized for high frequency response. For this reason, some low-grade IEC Type 1 tapes have been marketed specifically as better suited for data storage than for sound recording. At about the same time, chromium dioxide was introduced by DuPont, the inventor of the particle, and BASF, the inventor of magnetic recording, and then coatings using magnetite such as TDK's Audua were produced in an attempt to approach the sound quality of vinyl records. Cobalt-absorbed iron oxide, Avalin, was introduced by TDK in 1974 and proved very successful. Finally, pure metal particles, as opposed to oxide formulations, were introduced in 1979 by 3M under the trade name Metafine. The tape coating on most cassettes sold today as either normal or chrome consists of ferric oxide and cobalt mixed in varying ratios and using various processes. There are very few cassettes on the market that use a pure chromium dioxide coating. Simple voice recorders are designed to work with standard ferric formulations. High-fidelity tape decks usually are built with switches or detectors for the different bias and equalization requirements for high-performance tapes. The most common iron oxide tapes, defined by an IEC standard as Type 1, use 120 microsecond playback equalization, while chrome and cobalt absorbed tapes, IEC Type 2, require 70 microsecond playback equalization. The recording bias equalizations also were different and had a much longer time constant. BASF and Sony tried a dual layer tape with both ferric oxide and chrome dioxide known as ferrochrome, IEC Type 3, but these were available for only a short time in the 1970s. Metal cassettes, IEC Type 4, also use 70 microsecond playback equalization and provide still further improvement in sound quality. The quality normally is reflected in the price. Type 1 cassettes generally are cheapest, and Type 4 usually the most expensive. BASF chrome tape used in commercially pre-recorded cassettes used 120 microsecond Type 1 playback equalization to allow greater high-frequency dynamic range for better sound quality, but the greater selling point for the music labels was that the Type 1 cassette shell could be used for both ferric and for chrome music cassettes. Notches on top of the cassette shell indicate the type of tape within. Type 1 cassettes have only write protect notches, Type 2 have an additional pair next to the write protection ones, and Type 4, metal, have a third set in the middle of the cassette shell. These allow cassette decks to detect the tape type automatically and select the proper bias and equalization. Virtually all recent hi-fi systems with cassette decks lack this feature. Only a small niche of cassette decks, hi-fi separates, have the tape type selector. Playback of Type 2 and 4 tapes on a player without detection will produce exaggerated treble, but it may not be noticeable because such devices typically have amplifiers that lack extended high-frequency output. Recording on these units, however, results in very low sound reproduction, and sometimes distortion and hiss is heard. Also, these cheaper units cannot erase high-bias or metal-bias tapes. Attempting to do so will result in print-through. Section 2.2, playback length. Tape length usually is measured in minutes of total playing time. The most popular varieties are C46, 23 minutes per side, C60, 30 minutes per side, C90, and C120. The C46 and C60 lengths typically are 15-16 micrometers thick, but C90s are 10-11 micrometers, and C120s are just 9 micrometers thick, rendering them more susceptible to stretching or breakage. Some vendors are more generous than others, providing 132 meters, or 433 feet, or 135 meters, 442 feet, rather than 129 meters, 423 feet, of tape for a C90 cassette. C180 and even C240 tapes were available at one time, but these were extremely thin and fragile and suffered from such effects as print-through, which made them unsuitable for general use. Although the TDK-D C180 was produced for 2 decades, it is very rare because of several technical flaws. The tape had to be so thin that it was nearly transparent and therefore had fewer particles to magnetize, resulting in a poor sound quality and even worse durability. It required a strong motor to be driven and had high wow and flutter. Finally, it took a relatively long time to rewind. Other lengths are, or were, also available from some vendors, including C10 and C15, useful for saving data from early home computers and in telephone answering machines, C30, C50, C54, C64, C70, C74, C80, C84, C100, C105, and C110. As of 2010, Thomann still offers C10, C20, C30, and C40 IEC Type 2 tapes for use with 4 and 8-track Porta Studios. Some companies included a complimentary blank cassette with their portable cassette recorders in the early 1980s. Panasonic's was a C14 and came with a song recorded on side 1 and a blank side 2. Except for C74 and C100, such non-standard lengths always have been hard to find and tend to be more expensive than the more popular lengths. Home taping enthusiasts may have found certain lengths useful for fitting an album neatly on one or both sides of a tape. For instance, the initial maximum playback time of compact discs was 74 minutes. Explaining the relative popularity of C74 cassettes. Section 2.3, Write Protection. All compact cassettes include a write protection mechanism to prevent re-recording and accidental erasure of important material. Each side of the cassette has a plastic tab on the top that may be broken off, leaving a small indentation in the shell. This indentation allows the entry of a sensing lever that prevents the operation of the recording function when the cassette is inserted into a cassette deck. If the cassette is held with one of the labels facing the user and the tape opening at the bottom, the Write Protect tab for the corresponding side is at the top left. Occasionally, manufacturers provided a movable panel that could be used to enable or disable Write Protect on tapes. If later required, a piece of adhesive tape can be placed over the indentation to bypass the protection, or, on some decks, the lever can be manually depressed to record on a protected tape. Extra care is required to avoid covering the additional indents on high-bias tape cassettes adjacent to the Write Protect tabs. Section 2.4, Tape Leaders. In most compact cassettes, the magnetic tape was attached to each spool with a leader, usually made of strong plastic. See right-hand image. This leader protected the weaker magnetic tape from the shock occurring when the tape reached the end. Leaders can be complex. A plastic slide-in wedge anchors a short, fully opaque plastic tape to the take-up hub. One or more tinted semi-opaque plastic segments follow. The clear leader, a tintless, semi-opaque plastic segment follows, which wraps almost all the way around the supply reel before splicing to the magnetic tape itself. The clear leader spreads the shock load to a long stretch of tape instead of to the microscopic splice. Various patents have been issued detailing leader construction and associated tape player mechanisms to detect leaders. Cassette tape users would also use spare leaders to repair broken tapes. The disadvantage with tape leaders was that the sound recording or playback did not start at the beginning of the tape, forcing the user to cue forward to the start of the magnetic section. For certain applications, such as dictation, special cassettes containing leaderless tapes were made, typically with stronger material and for use in machines that had more sophisticated end-of-tape prediction. Section 2.5, Endless Loop Cassette. Some compact cassettes were made to play a continuous loop of tape without stopping. Lengths available are from around 30 seconds to a standard full length. They are used in situations where a short message or musical jingle is to be played, either continuously or whenever a device is triggered, or whenever continuous recording or playing is needed. Some include a sensing foil on the tape to allow tape players to re-cue. From as early as 1969, various patents have been issued, covering such uses as unidirectional, bidirectional, and compatibility with auto shutoff and anti-tape eating mechanisms. Section 2.6, Flaws. While ubiquitous and accessible, cassette playback suffered from flaws frustrating to both professionals and home recording enthusiasts. Tape speed could vary between devices, resulting in playback pitch that was too low or too high. Speed often was calibrated at the factory and could not be changed by users. The slow tape speed limited fidelity and tape speed consistency, resulting in poor wow and flutter. Different tape formulation and noise reduction schemes artificially boosted or cut high frequencies and inadvertently elevated noise levels. Section 3. Cassette players and recorders. The first cassette machines, e.g. the Philips EL3300, introduced in August 1963, were simple mono record and playback units. Early machines required attaching an external dynamic microphone. Most units after the 1970s also incorporated built-in condenser microphones, which have extended high-frequency response, but may also pick up noises from the recorder motor. A portable recorder format still common today is a long box, the width of a cassette, with a speaker at the top, a cassette bay in the middle, and piano key controls at the bottom edge. Another format is only slightly larger than the cassette, also adapted for stereo Walkman player applications. The markings of piano key controls soon were standardized and are a legacy still emulated on many software control panels. These symbols are commonly a square for stop, a right-pointing triangle for play, double triangles for fast forward and rewind, a red dot for record, and a vertically divided square, two rectangles side by side, for pause. Main article, cassette deck. Stereo recorders eventually evolved into high fidelity and were known as cassette decks after the reel-to-reel decks. Hi-fi cassette decks, in contrast to cassette recorders and cassette players, often didn't have built-in amplification or speakers. Many formats of cassette players and recorders have evolved over the years. Initially, all were top-loading, usually with cassette on one side and VU meters and recording level controls on the other side. Older models used combinations of levers and sliding buttons for control. A major innovation was the front-loading arrangement. Pioneer's angled cassette bay and the exposed bays of some Sansui models eventually were standardized as a front-loading door into which a cassette would be loaded. Later models would adopt electronic buttons and replace conventional meters, which could be pegged when overloaded, with electronic LED or vacuum fluorescent displays, with level controls typically being controlled by either rotary controls or side-by-side sliders. BIC and Marantz briefly offered models that could be run at double speeds, but Nakamichi was widely recognized as one of the first companies to create decks that rivaled reel-to-reel decks with frequency response from the full 20 to 20,000 Hz range, low noise, and very low wow and flutter. The three-head closed-loop dual-capstan Nakamichi 1000, 1973, is one early example. Unlike typical cassette decks that use a single head for both record and playback, plus a second head for erasing, the Nakamichi 1000, like the better reel-to-reel recorders, used three separate heads to optimize these functions. Other contenders for the highest hi-fi quality on this medium were two companies already widely known for their excellent quality reel-to-reel tape recorders, Tandberg and Revox, consumer brand of the Swiss professional Studer company for studio equipment. Tandberg started with combi head machines, such as the TCD-300, and continued with the TCD-3X0 series with separate playback and recording heads. All TCD models possessed dual capstan drives, belt driven from a single capstan motor and two separate reel motors. Frequency range extended to 18 kHz. After a disastrous overinvestment in color television production, Tandberg folded and revived without the hi-fi branch these came from. Revox went one step further. After much hesitation about whether to accept cassettes as a medium capable for meeting their strict standards from reel-to-reel recorders at all, they produced their B710 MK1 Dolby B and MK2 Dolby B and C machines. Both cassette units possessed double capstan drives, but with two independent electronically controlled capstan motors and two separate reel motors. The head assembly moved by actuating a damped solenoid movement, eliminating all belt drives and other wearable parts. These machines rivaled the Nakamichi in frequency and dynamic range. The B710 MK2 also achieved 20 to 20 kHz and dynamics of over 72 decibels with Dolby C on chrome and slightly less dynamic range, but greater headroom with metal tapes and Dolby C. Revox adjusted the frequency range on delivery with many years of use in mind. When new, the frequency curve went upwards a few decibels at 15 to 20 kHz, aiming for flat response after 15 years of use, and headwear to match. A last step taken by Revox produced even more advanced cassette drives with electronic fine-tuning of bias and equalization during recording. Revox also produced amplifiers, a very expensive FM tuner, and a pickup with a special parallel arm mechanism of their own design. After releasing that product, Studer encountered financial difficulties. It had to save itself by folding its Revox branch and all its consumer products except their last reel-to-reel recorder, the B77. Note that while Nakamichi violated the tape recording standards to achieve the highest dynamics possible, producing non-compatible cassettes for playback on other machines, both Tandberg and Revox kept to the standards and produced cassettes that could be played back on other machines. A third company, the well-known Danish Bang & Olufsen, invented a special, improved system for improving headroom at high frequencies to reduce tape saturation despite lower bias levels. This headroom extension method, HX, was called Dolby HX Pro in full and patented. Their finest machine with HX Pro was the Beocord 9000, which indeed performed excellently. However, this machine's transport possessed only a single capstan and a single drive motor, as opposed to a multiple-motor, dual-capstan arrangement. This did not make the B&O contender a popular choice with hi-fi enthusiasts. Most of them favored Nakamichi, Tandberg, or Revox instead, all of which were more mechanically complex. HX Pro was adopted by other manufacturers, including Technics, while Iowa incorporated the technology into their top-of-the-range personal stereos, as well as into their static machines. As they became aimed at more casual users, fewer decks had microphone inputs. Dual decks became popular and incorporated into home entertainment systems of all sizes for tape dubbing. Although the quality would suffer each time a source was copied, there are no mechanical restrictions on copying from a record, radio, or another cassette source. Even as CD recorders are becoming more popular, some incorporate cassette decks for professional applications. Another format that made an impact on culture in the 1980s was the radio cassette, aka the Ghetto Blaster or Boombox, a name used commonly only in the USA, which combined the portable cassette deck with a radio tuner and speakers capable of producing significant sound levels. These devices became synonymous with urban youth culture and entertainment, which led to the somewhat derisive nickname Ghetto Blaster. Applications for car stereos varied widely. Auto manufacturers in the United States typically would fit a cassette slot into their standard large radio faceplates. Europe and Asia would standardize on DIN and double DIN standard faceplates. In the 1980s, a high-end installation would have a Dolby AM/FM cassette deck and they rendered the 8-track cartridge obsolete in car installations because of space, performance, and audio quality. As the cost of building CD players declined, many manufacturers offered a CD player, but some cars, especially those targeted at older drivers, still offer the option of a cassette player, either by itself or sometimes in combination with a CD slot. In fact, the 2009 Lexus ES350 still comes with a cassette player as standard equipment. The newest cars often are not designed to accommodate cassette players, but the auxiliary jack advertised for MP3 players can be used also with portable cassette players. Although the cassettes themselves were relatively durable, the players required regular maintenance to perform properly. Head cleaning may be done with long swabs, soaked with isopropyl alcohol, or cassette-shaped devices that could be inserted into a tape deck to remove buildup of iron oxide from the heads, tape drive capstan, and pinch roller. Similarly shaped demagnetizers used magnets to degauss the deck, which kept sound from becoming distorted. A common mechanical problem occurred when a worn-out or dirty player rotated the supply spool faster than the take-up spool or failed to release the heads from the tape upon ejection. This would cause the magnetic tape to be fed out through the bottom of the cassette and become tangled in the mechanism of the player. In these cases, the player was said to have eaten the tape, and it often destroyed the playability of the cassette altogether and resulted in the common sight of tangled tape on the side of the road. Cutting blocks, analogous to those used for open-reel 1/4-inch tape, were readily available, though used mainly for retrieving valued recordings, could be used to remove the damaged portion or repair the break in the tape. Creation of compilations usually was by re-recording rather than splicing sections of songs because of the much smaller tape area. Section 4. Applications. Section 4.1. Audio. The compact cassette originally was intended for use in dictation machines. In this capacity, some later model cassette-based dictation machines could also run the tape at half speed, 15/16 of an inch per second, as playback quality was not critical. The compact cassette soon became a popular medium for distributing pre-recorded music, initially through the Philips Record Company and subsidiary labels Mercury and Philips in the U.S. As of 2009, one still finds cassettes used for a variety of purposes, such as journalism, oral history, meeting and interview transcripts, audiobooks, and so on. However, they are starting to give way to compact discs and more compact digital storage media. The compact cassette quickly found use in the commercial music industry. One artifact found on some commercially produced music cassettes was a sequence of test tones called SDR, Super Dynamic Range, also called XDR, or Extended Dynamic Range, sound burst tones, at the beginning and end of the tape, heard in order of low frequency to high. These were used during SDR/XDR's duplication process to gauge the quality of the tape medium. Many consumers objected to these tones since they were not part of the recorded music. Section 4.2. Broadcasting. News reporting, documentary, and human interest broadcast operations often use the portable Marantz PMD series recorders for the recording of speech interviews. The key advantages of the Marantz portable recorders were the accommodation of professional microphones with an XLR connector, normal and double tape speed recording for extended frequency response, Dolby and DBX noise reduction systems, manual or automatic gain control, AGC, level control, peak limiter, multiple tape formulation accommodation, microphone and line level input connections, unbalanced RCA stereo input and output connections, live or tape monitoring, VU meter, headphone jack, playback pitch control, and operation on AC power or batteries optimized for long duration. Unlike less expensive portable recorders that were limited to automatic gain control recording schemes, the manual recording mode preserved low noise dynamics and avoided the automatic elevation of noise. Section 4.3. Home Studio. In the 1980s, Tascam introduced the Porta Studio line of 4 and 8-track cassette recorders for home studio use. In the simplest configuration, rather than playing a pair of stereo channels of each side of the cassette, the typical Porta Studio used a 4-track tape head assembly to access 4 tracks on the cassette at once, with the tape playing in one direction. Each track could be recorded to, erased, or played back individually, allowing musicians to overdub themselves and create simple multi-track recordings easily, which could then be mixed down to a finished stereo version on an external machine. To increase audio quality in these recorders, the tape speed sometimes was doubled to 3 3/4 inches per second, in comparison to the standard 1 7/8 inches per second. Additionally, DBX, Dolby B, or Dolby C noise reduction provided compansion, compression of the signal during recording with equal and opposite expansion of the signal during playback, which yields increased dynamic range by lowering the noise level and increasing the maximum signal level before distortion occurs. Multi-track cassette recorders with built-in mixer and signal routing features range from easy-to-use beginner units up to professional-level recording systems. Although professional musicians typically used multi-track cassette machines only as sketch pads, Bruce Springsteen's Nebraska was recorded entirely on a 4-track cassette tape. Section 4.4, Home Dubbing. Most compact cassettes were sold blank and used for recording, dubbing, the owner's records as backup to play in the car or to make mixtape compilations, their friends' records, or music from the radio. This practice was condemned by the music industry with such alarmist slogans as, "Home taping is killing music." However, many claim that the medium was ideal for spreading new music and would increase sales, and strongly defended their right to copy at least their own records onto tape. For a limited time in the early 1980s, Island Records sold chromium dioxide 1+1 cassettes that had an album pre-recorded on one side, and the other was left blank for the purchaser to use. Cassettes were also a boon to people wishing to tape concerts, unauthorized or authorized, for sale or trade, a practice tacitly or overtly encouraged by many bands, such as the Grateful Dead, with a more counterculture bent. Blank compact cassettes were also an invaluable tool to spread the music of unsigned acts, especially within tape trading networks. Various legal cases arose surrounding the dubbing of cassettes. In the UK, in the case of CBS Songs vs. Amstrad, 1988, the House of Lords found in favor of Amstrad that producing equipment that facilitated the dubbing of cassettes, in this case a high-speed twin cassette deck that allowed one cassette to be copied directly onto another, did not constitute the infringement of copyright. In a similar case, a shop owner who rented cassettes and sold blank tapes was not liable for copyright infringement, even though it was clear that his customers likely were dubbing them at home. In both cases, the courts held that manufacturers and retailers could not be held accountable for the actions of consumers. As an alternative to home dubbing, in the late 1980s, the Personics Company installed booths in record stores across America that allowed consumers to make personalized mixtapes from a digitally encoded back catalog with customized printed covers. Section 4.5, Institutional Duplication. Educational, faith-based, corporate, military, and broadcasting institutions benefited from messaging proliferation through accessibility price duplicators offered by Telex Communications, Wallensack, Sony, and others. The duplicators would operate at double or greater tape speed. Systems were scalable, enabling the user to purchase initially one master unit, typically with 3 copy bays, and add slave units for expanded duplication capabilities. Section 4.6, Data Recording. The Hewlett-Packard HP 9830 was one of the first desktop computers in the early 1970s to use automatically controlled cassette tapes for storage. It could save and find files by number, using a clear leader to detect the end of tape. These would be replaced by specialized cartridges, such as the 3M DC series. Many of the earliest microcomputers implemented the Kansas City Standard for digital data storage. Most home computers of the late 1970s and early 1980s could use cassettes for data storage as a cheaper alternative to floppy disks, though users often had to manually stop and start a cassette recorder. Even the first version of the IBM PC of 1981 had a cassette port and a command in its ROM BASIC programming language to use it. However, this was seldom used, as even then, floppy drives had become commonplace in high-end machines. The typical encoding method for computer data was simple FSK, which resulted in data rates of typically 500 to 2,000 bits per second, although some games use special, faster loading routines up to around 4,000 bits per second. A rate of 2,000 bits per second equates to a capacity of around 660 kilobytes per side of a 90-minute tape. Among home computers that used primarily data cassettes for storage in the late 1970s were Commodore PET, early models of which had a cassette drive built in, TRS-80, and Apple II, until the introduction of floppy disk drives and hard drives in the early 1980s made cassettes virtually obsolete for day-to-day use in the U.S. However, they remained in use on some portable systems, such as the TRS-80 Model 100 line, until the early 1990s. Due to the high price of disks, cassettes also remained the primary data storage medium for 8-bit computers, such as the Commodore 64, ZX Spectrum, and Amstrad CPC 464. In many countries, for example, the UK, where 8-bit software was mostly sold on cassette until that market disappeared altogether in the early 1990s. In some countries, including the United Kingdom, Poland, Hungary, and the Netherlands, audio cassette data storage was so popular that some radio stations would broadcast computer programs that listeners could record onto cassette and then load onto their computer. See Basic Code. The use of better modulation techniques, such as QPSK or those used in modern modems, combined with the improved bandwidth and signal-to-noise ratio of newer cassette tapes, allowed much greater capacities, up to 60 megabytes, and data transfer speeds of 10 to 17 kilobytes per second on each cassette. They found use during the 1980s in data loggers for scientific and industrial equipment. The audio cassette was adapted into what is called a streamer cassette, a version dedicated solely for data storage and used chiefly for hard disk backups and other types of data. Streamer cassettes look almost exactly the same as a standard cassette, with the exception of having a notch about a fourth of an inch wide and deep situated slightly off-center at the top edge of the cassette. Streamer cassettes also have a reusable write protect tab on only one side of the top edge of the cassette, with the other side of the top edge having either only an open rectangular hole or no hole at all. This is due to the whole eighth inch width of the tape loaded inside being used by a streamer cassette drive for the writing and reading of data, hence only one side of the cassette being used. Streamer cassettes can hold anywhere from 50 to 160 megabytes of data. Section 5. Successors. L-cassette was a short-lived audio format created by Sony in 1976 that was about twice the size, using larger tape and a higher recording speed. Unlike the original cassette, the L-cassette was designed from the outset for sound quality. It was never widely accepted, as the quality of standard cassette decks rapidly approached high fidelity. Technical development of the cassette effectively ceased when digital recordable media, such as DAT and MiniDisc, were introduced in the late 1980s and early 1990s. Anticipating the switch from analog to digital format, major companies such as Sony shifted their focus to new media. In 1992, Philips introduced the Digital Compact Cassette, a DAT-like tape in the same form factor as the compact audio cassette. It was aimed primarily at the consumer market. A DCC deck could play back both types of cassettes. Unlike DAT, which was accepted in professional usage because it could record without lossy compression effects, The DCC failed in both home and mobile environments and was discontinued in 1996. The microcassette has in many cases supplanted the full-sized audio cassette in situations where voice-level fidelity is all that is required, such as in dictation machines and answering machines. Even these, in turn, are starting to give way to digital recorders of various descriptions. Since the rise of cheap CDR discs and flash memory-based digital audio players, the phenomenon of home taping has effectively switched to recording to compact disc or downloading from commercial or music-sharing websites. Because of consumer demand, the cassette has remained influential on design more than a decade after its decline as a media mainstay. As the compact disc grew in popularity, cassette-shaped audio adapters were developed to provide an economical and clear way to obtain CD functionality in vehicles equipped with cassette decks. A portable CD player would have its analog line out connected to the adapter, which in turn fed the signal to the head of the cassette deck. These adapters continue to function with MP3 players as well, and generally are more reliable than the FM transmitters that must be used to adapt CD players to MP3s. MP3 players shaped as audio cassettes have also become available, which can be inserted into any compact cassette player and communicate with the head as if they were normal cassettes. See also cassette culture, cassette single, compact disc player, digital cassettes, 8-track cartridge, L-cassette, electronic journalism, home taping is killing music, list of audio formats, microcassette, mini cassette, mixtape, pocket rockers, PXL 2000, receiver, radio, and VHS. This sound file and all text in the article are licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution, Share Alike 3.0 Unported License, available at http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by-sa/3.0.